got back to Massachusetts last Sunday around 2:30 in the morning, and the irony of flying back home from a Mexico vacation just before a blizzard was not lost on me. I was hurrying home from sunny 85-degree weather to the prospect of as much as 3 feet of snow. And I was glad and excited to return. Glad and excited to be home and back at work. Glad and excited to be held hostage by the weather, even if only for a day or two. We human beings like to think that we are in control. We like to think that we can plan our lives and then make those plans a reality. We like to think that with enough effort or enough money or enough forethought, nothing is impossible. We are people of science and reason. We are people of grit and determination. We are Yankees, for God's sake. We can see anything through to success. And yet, with a big snowstorm bearing down on us, even the most stalwart among us has to give in to the elements. Even the most controlling among us has to admit that we are helpless to change what will come. And the bliss of surrender, if you can get there, is delicious. It is not easy for me to go on vacation. Over the years, I've had to learn how to do it, how to disengage, how to slow down, how to not worry about what's happening at home, how to actually enjoy myself not working. And there are always persistent enemies that try and draw me back into work. You know many of them. Email, voicemail, text messages, automatic alerts on my telephone, 24-hour television news, Facebook, Twitter, and the list goes on and on and on. These little daily distractions become full-fledged gremlins on a vacation. They stomp around and demand attention. When we try to avoid it most, these distractions make us miss our hyper-connected life. They make us feel bad about stopping for a while. They wage a war on rest. One of the most dangerous things that most of us do without even thinking about it is multitask. Multitasking has become such a way of life for most Americans that we have actually stopped talking about it. Did you notice? The art of doing two or three things at once has become so mainstream for us that we would feel funny if we didn't do it. You know what I'm talking about. Talking on the phone or texting while driving, watching TV while on email or Facebook, cooking, doing laundry, and paying bills at the same time, or, my favorite, taking a phone call while walking my dog, something she takes as automatic permission to misbehave. We all multitask, maybe more than we even realize, but brain science knows that it's not good for us. The more we multitask, the shorter our attention span gets. When we jump from task to task to task, we get the same little dopamine rush that people get when they win a bet at a slot machine. Multitasking feels good because it gives us the sense that we are being efficient and getting a lot done. Instead, we lose the desire to concentrate on something, giving it the attention that it really needs. This lack of attention affects us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We become addicted to our devices and addicted to their promise to keep us perpetually entertained. In a famous experiment, Peter Milner and James Olds, both neuroscientists, placed a small electrode in the brains of rats, in a small structure of the limbic system called the nucleus accumbens. This structure regulates dopamine production and is the region that lights up when a gambler wins a bet, a drug addict takes cocaine, or people have orgasms. Olds and Milner call it the pleasure center. A lever in the cage allowed the rats to send a small electrical signal directly to their nucleus accumbens. Do you think they liked it? Boy, did they like it. They liked it so much that they did not do anything else. They forgot about eating and sleeping. Long after they were hungry, they ignored tasty food if they had a chance to press that little chrome bar. They even ignored the opportunity for sex. The rats just pressed the lever over and over and over again until they collapsed with exhaustion. Does that remind you of anything? Asks the author of the study, Daniel Levitin. In learning to slow down, we have to learn to stop pushing the lever that automatically delivers the feel-good jolt. We have to learn how to ignore pressing matters that clamor for our attention. We need to withstand the tyranny of the immediate. We need to restore some sense of Sabbath in our weeks. Getting rest and taking time off has never been convenient for anybody, ever. There's always more work than can get done. There's always more demands on us than we can ever respond to, and we will likely never, ever get caught up. But this does not mean that we should not rest, just the opposite. We have to make space for time off and for rest in our lives, or we will never find contentment. Sabbath is about stopping work precisely because there is too much of it to do. Sabbath is about taking a break for the very reason that everything won't ever get done. Sabbath is about recognizing that rest is one of the greatest spiritual gifts available to us. Free time is healing. It is grace. Reverend Benjamin Duholm writes in the Christian Century, "At the heart of the matter is the Sabbath itself. Foreshadowed in the creation story, God's command to rest sets Israel apart from the Exodus onward. It is a costly command," he says. "The people, their foreign residents, and even the animals must rest. The land must rest. The widow must be released from her debt, at least for the length of a night's sleep, and from the incessant demand to work in repaying it. Isaiah," he says, "rails against the abuse of the Sabbath to gain competitive advantage, which undermines the ability of anyone to enjoy the rest. The mandated idleness, 15% of life, think about it, was so costly that it had to be general and it had to be reinforced with fierce penalties. But all these costs underscore the drastic, unyielding, world-shaking claim that life, even the life of an ox, is in some sense its own end and not an instrument. Idleness is sacred in the Bible because it identifies the world with a living God whose greatest gift is rest, and who rescued the people from slavery in a land where no rest was allowed." The satirical newspaper, The Onion, recently ran an article with the headline, "Laid-back company allows employees to work from home after 6 p.m. If it helps them be efficient and get more done, I have no problem with people working remotely once they've left the office for the day, said Social Fire marketing CEO Matt Avalon, who noted that as long as they're doing their jobs, the location where his staff members chose to work between 6 p.m. and 9 a.m. is, in quotes, completely up to them. This spoof article goes on to say, "Since they don't have to be in the office for any meetings, employees are free to work from home on weekends and holidays as well." This pretty much sums up how some of us feel, doesn't it? Our work follows us home. We have been given so many responsibilities that we don't even know where one ends and the next one begins. And if we add family responsibilities or aging parents to the mix, we can quickly feel like we live in a land where no rest is allowed. But it doesn't have to be this way. We are the only ones who can make a change. Until we begin insisting on the rest we need, we will continue down the multitasking road of diminishing returns. We are the ones who have to say, "Slow me down, Lord." We are the ones who have to be able to say, "Stop." And this goes for church too. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
At the risk of having people drop what they're doing at First Parish, I want to go on record to say, I do not want this church to add more stress to your already full lives. I would much rather see us doing fewer things as a congregation than contribute to the type A culture that surrounds us. I would rather see fewer activities, slower committee work, and more relaxed Sundays than simply add another layer of busyness in the name of religion. If your minister and your church are not the first ones to say to you, "You need a rest," who will say that to you? As your minister, I promise not to overwork myself. It may be difficult. But overwork is not good for me either. There is no competition here at First Parish. There are no shareholders waiting to see the quarterly profit statement. And there are no other churches that are going to beat us to first place. As First Parish, we were here first. We ain't got nothing to prove. First Parish in Concord should be a place of such ease and grace that no one feels more stress upon entering it. We should be so chill that the new people that find us seek us out as a place of rest and rejuvenation. Wasn't that a glorious snowstorm on Tuesday? Wasn't that just the most beautiful thing you ever saw? What a gift. What a miracle. And we're getting another one tonight. It's an embarrassment of riches, people. How lucky we are. How lucky to have our world slow down and stop, even for just a day or so. How lucky to see nature bring us whatever she will bring us. How lucky to feel our animal selves affected by the elements and responsible for our basic survival. A snowstorm is a glorious gift, a gift of time, a gift of perspective. It is a gift of rest, at least until we have to go shovel out again. This afternoon and evening, I want each of us to reflect on Tuesday's snowstorm. Did we use it well? Did we wish it away? Was it frustrating for us? Did it stress us out? Or could we accept it as the gift that it was? Could we see the kindness of being forced to slow down? And how will we respond to tonight's storm? Will we complain that it is dumping even more snow on us? Or will we see it as a second chance to enjoy a beautiful act of nature? Will we take this second chance to slow down and to find deep peace? So whether you win control of the television remote to watch the Super Bowl or Downton Abbey later today, know that taking time to rest and relax will help you become a more balanced person. Tomorrow, whether you wait until all the snow is down before shoveling out or rush out mid-snowstorm to do it bit by bit. Play and recreation will help you be more productive when you turn your mind back to work. I wish you much idleness in the days to come. Accept this rest as a gift. Seek it out regularly where you can. Your health and your happiness depend on it. So be it. Amen.